Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A little PSA, a little public service announcement. As you're getting ready for Thanksgiving, because I had a conversation with one of my offspring here this past week, and I was looking forward to maybe connecting with them, and they're like, well, I can't come home because I'm cooking a turkey. And I'd spoken with this child of mine the day before, and they'd never said anything about cooking a turkey, and I said, are you prepared to cook a turkey? And they said, what preparation? I have an oven, and I just got a turkey. I said, you just got a turkey? How big is said bird? And he said, 24 pounds. I said, you're going to cook a 24-pound bird? You know it takes like 4 or 5 days to thaw. And the phone was silent. It's okay. We poured hot water in it. And if you're looking to thaw a turkey, if you have a 10 to 12 pound turkey, it's going to take in refrigerator 2.5 days to thaw. If you have a 13 to 15 pound bird, 3 days. If you have a 16 to 17, 3.5 days, 18 to 24 days. And if you're going there for big Tom turkey, you're going to go to the big 21 to 25 pounder. You're looking at 5 days in the average refrigerator. I will tell you that this is not from the Cooking Network, and all these times are estimates. They're subject to change. But once you thaw a bird, you can keep it in for about 2 days. Oh, there. This is brought to you by No More Food Poisoning. R.S. So, anyway, I just figured I'd share that as we're getting ready to come that time. And in all fairness, I've shared before that, you know, the first time I went to cook a turkey, I thought you could thaw a 20-pound bird in a day. I was wrong. So anyway, but that's it. I didn't ask the question, did you know that there are giblets inside? But we didn't even talk about that. So we're trusting everything was well. No one got sick and everything's good. Today I want to look at a couple portions of scripture with this in mind. That we're getting ready. You know, as Helen aptly said, we're coming into this time of giving thanks, of thanksgiving, and it's so important. And so I want to focus on a couple of portions of scripture today. And if you have a Bible, please go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. But just for a little context here, if you read in the book of Acts chapter 16 and 17, after Paul left Philippi, he went to Thessalonica. He successfully converted a ton of people to the faith. There were some people who were in the synagogue that were very upset and they were jealous. And so they caused the entire city to come into an uproar against Paul, to the point where Paul had to sneak out in the middle of night. And so there was persecution against Christians. Some of these recent converts from paganism were left with little external support. Individuals who came to the faith through Paul's preaching were going to encounter some difficult times. They were living in a culture that wasn't going to be tolerant to pursuing Jesus Christ. And so Paul is writing, and the purpose of the letter to the Thessalonians is to give them encouragement in that they're going to face trials, to give instructions on godly living. And then he also talks about, you know, coming future events, about the return of Christ and about some important things there. But let's look here, because there are some important things for us here that we're going to see thematically throughout the entire New Testament. And the things that Jesus also encourages us as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Let's all read this together. Get your good reading voice on. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you have ever wondered, what's God's will for my life? Anybody? Anybody have a struggle? You know, like, God, just show me your will. What's your plan for my life? You know, I'm going to tell you, I can tell you right now what God's will for your life is. You ready? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what we see here is some important things, okay? As we read Paul's instructions, remember, these were two Christians who were going to face some very difficult circumstances. They were Christians who were going to suffer because of their faith. I'm going to tell you, you know, we've had it really, really, really easy in our nation. We've had for a long time, but there may very well come a day and a time where you will suffer if you want to hold the faith. Okay? People are leaving the biblical doctrines at a frightening pace. Christians are leaving the teaching of Jesus and are leaving the teaching of the New Testament in droves, trying to somehow appease society. If you're going to be a true follower of Christ, you need to understand that there will be some suffering. There will be times where you may in fact be persecuted. And now, what is the advice that Paul has for individuals who want to be true followers of Christ in the midst of a culture that rejects Christ? Rejoice always. In other words, don't go online and bemoan it. No, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. I tell you what, if more people would pray and less people would post, some people would be living a whole lot happier. I'll just leave that at that, okay? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. No matter what, I like this, in all circumstances, there are three things that should be evident. So there are three habits that characterize a Christian's relationship with God. Three habits that characterize, if you're going to be an authentic follower of Christ, you're going to have these three habits. Number one is joy. Do you, as a follower of Christ, have any reason to have joy? Okay, come on, let's talk back to the preacher day. Tell me some reasons that you have to have joy. Salvation's a pretty good one. Does anybody think that salvation is a reason that we should have joy? But wait a minute, I've been told that there might not be presents under the Christmas tree. Should I be rejoicing or freaking out? We should be rejoicing. Why? Because we have an eternal gift of salvation. I don't care what shipping order or what train stops or what cargo is stuck in the middle of a harbor somewhere. God has sent His Son Jesus for us. And by the way, we should be remembering that that's really what it's all about, right? Okay, so salvation is a pretty good one. What's another one? Reason that you should have joy today and every day. Just salvation, that's it. Eternal life? Yes, having a promise of eternal life. In other words, no matter how bad it might get, there's something better coming, right? The promise of eternal life. What's another reason? Come on, you're doing good. Grace, relationship, love. Grace, relationship, love. How many think that those are reasons to have joy, gang? Oh, we could do this all day. Come on, come on, come on. I'm sorry, do what? The beauty we see every day? For the beauty of the earth, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our song. Actually, that's our closing song today. I shouldn't sing it. So, I was like, why is that song on my mind? Ah, there's a reason why. Yeah, the beauty all around us. There's beauty all around us. You know what? I was pulling into my driveway yesterday. I was watching a neighbor kid, really good kid, just a little tyke, and he was sweet, raking his leaves, and I pulled up and I was like, hey, what you gonna do with those leaves? And he looked at me and he smiled and he dropped his rake and he just dove and just jumped in him. I thought, that just made me happy. You know, I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's great. How many of you, what else? The beauty, salvation, love, grace, the fact that we get what we don't deserve. What's something else? A reason that we have to be joyful. There you go. That we have fellowship with God. That we have relationship with God. That we are not alone ever. Ever. If I say ever annoyingly like I do. Ever. Right? There's a reasons. Okay. So those are some reasons. We're going to drill down on those in just a minute. Another habit for a Christian is to pray. When should we be praying? Pray without ceasing. Right? Pray without ceasing. I tell you what, please, you want a great habit? Before you complain, pray. Before you bemoan, pray. Before you run somebody down, pray. Before you go mad on the clerk at the store because they don't have whatever it is that you want, pray. I bet if you start talking to God, that many times the words that are about to come out of our mouth would never come out of our mouth. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Mm-hmm. You get ready to get... Look, before you give someone a piece of your mind, trust me, you can't spare any. You need to hold on to that. You give God your mind. Give God your mind. Okay. So, be joyful always. Pray without ceasing, okay? It's an important thing. I mean, Paul and Silas, when they were in jail, they were beaten, they were put in jail, in this prison, and then, yet they didn't sit there and whine. They praised God, and God did a miracle, literally brought the jail keeper to the faith. It's a pretty amazing thing. Now, remember, many in this audience, okay, were pagan. Many of this of the people, they had come out of a paganistic culture, and their understanding in prayer. Now, this might mess with somebody. A paganistic understanding of prayer is to ask said deity to do something. That is not the only understanding of prayer for a Christian. And if you are a Christian and your prayers are only asking, honey, you're missing the larger portion. If your prayer is only a shopping list, you don't get it. Let me say that again. If your prayer is nothing more than a shopping list, you don't get it. And I would ask you, coming into the season of Thanksgiving, if you want to have a little deeper understanding, listen to your prayers. If it's gimme, 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 bless, 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 heal, 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 honey, you are missing the boat. You know, as a parent, sometimes parents in the room, you know, you get tired of feeling like that you're just an ATM. Anybody else? Yep, yep, yep. They come around. Isn't it annoying when you have people in your life and the only time they come around you is to just gimme, 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 gimme. What can you do for me? What can you do for me? Those people wear you out, don't they? Don't be that one to your Father in heaven. Prayer is relational. Okay? Prayer is where we wrestle our will to His. Prayer is where we relate to God. That's a whole nother sermon. And the third thing that we're going to talk about is the habit that characterizes a Christian's relationship with God. Joy, prayer, and gratitude. Here again, a Christian's understanding, a Christ follower's understanding of gratitude should be different than the rest of the world. The rest of the world gives thanks when they get something. A Christian shouldn't just be having gratitude because of something temporal that we get. A Christian's gratitude should transcend whatever situation we encounter. If your thanksgiving, if your gratitude ebbs and flows according to how much stuff you get, you don't get it. There is something more. Everybody say there's something more. There's something more, gang. So, four points today, and I've taken a long time runway. Point number one, it's God's will for you to give thanks. We just read, it is God's word for you to give thanks. The Greek word here for will is thelema. And this word, thelema, has to do with God's will. It's God's desire. It's God's intent. So the word will means desire, purpose, or intent. Now, why does God want us to give thanks? It's not because he's a grouchy guy sitting on the porch saying, well, they didn't send me a thank you note. Well, they didn't do that. That's not why God's doing this. It's not because he's irritated that we were ungrateful. That's not. It's something deeper. God's desire for us to give thanks is not for him. It's not self-seeking. In fact, it's for us. God wants the best for us. As a parent, you want the best for your kids, right? And God wants the best for us. And He knows and He has designed us that when we live with a lifestyle of thankfulness, it is the best life that we can have. Okay, it's not an angry parent trying to curb a selfish, spoiled child. It's rather something that He has for us. Trust me, God does not need His ego stroked. God doesn't, and by the way, you couldn't do it. You can't change his attitude. You can't change those things. God, it's not doing this for Himself. Life is so much better when we are appreciative. I got to tell you, when you develop a lifestyle of gratitude rather than episodes of gratitude, and I got to tell you, I'm guilty of this. There are times I recognize that I have episodes of gratitude, not a lifestyle of gratitude. Anybody else? The culture that we live in cultivates this. The world that we live in right now cultivates episodes of gratitude, not a lifestyle of gratitude. But God purposed you to live in gratitude, okay? And it's for you. So, let's go on to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Paul here writing says kind of repeats the same thing. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always, okay? Again, we're having joy. Rejoice, if we want to break the word down, has to do with joy, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, what? Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You see, we got three things. We have joy, we have prayer and supplication, and we have thanksgiving, gratitude. Let your request be made known to God. Verse 7 shows us what happens. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Look at what joy, prayer, and gratitude usher in. A peace, everybody say peace, that surpasses all understanding. Joy, prayer, and gratitude help us realize and understand that God is near, that He is there for us. So that brings us to point two. A lifestyle of thankfulness is good for us. You know, I always tell my kids when they were growing up, I tried really hard, especially like when my son was running. You need to eat spinach. You need to eat spinach. Spinach has iron. Iron gets in your blood. It helps your blood. It helps you have stamina. You know, Popeye ate spinach, right? It must be good, right? You know, I didn't like spinach. And there are certain things that we as parents want for our kids because we want it for their benefit. A lifestyle of thankfulness is good for us. Look at Psalm 92, verses 1 through 2. And let's all read this together. Ready? Take a breath. 1, 2, 3. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. This psalm tells us that it is good to give thanks to God. Now, we know that because Scripture says it. As I've told you, I like science. I try not to worship science. I like science. My father was a scientist. He was a chemical engineer. I've told you, I didn't get a baseball glove as an early birthday present. I got a chemistry set. I wanted a baseball glove, but I didn't appreciate the chemistry set. But I really do appreciate science. And so I was kind of doing some research to think, you know, is thankfulness, is living with gratitude, not episodes, but having a lifestyle of gratitude, is it really good for us? Because I know that the Bible says so. And so because God said it, that's good enough for me, right? But is there some evidence to back said claim up? Some empirical evidence that we can see? So I'd like to spend the next few moments giving you some empirical evidence. In 2008, you can read this in the Oxford Journals, a study was published on the neural basis of human social values, evidence from functioning MRI. Basically, what they did was they did brain scans of individuals who both received expressions of gratitude and gave expressions of gratitude, and they monitored what happened inside of their brain while they were embracing thankfulness and gratitude. And here's what they found out. When people gave thanks or had expressions of gratitude, there was a massive surge of dopamine, which is the pleasure neurotransmitter. It makes you happy. Okay, not only that, there was also noted upticks in serotonin, okay, which is your neurotransmitter that is in charge of happiness. So pleasure and happiness increase when you give thanks. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Isn't that kind of cool? Some of you are like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know what? So I decided, well, that's just one. Let's find some others. So I went to ResearchGate. ResearchGate is kind of this nerd site. They don't call it a nerd site, but it's a nerd site. But basically, they link all these different studies. And you can actually go through and find studies with this keyword. And the keyword was thanksgiving or gratitude. And here are studies. There was a study that said that people who have higher levels of gratitude sleep better. Imagine that. You sleep better when you are thankful. They actually have stronger relationships. They have this. This one I had to press into. They have lower levels of inflammation. How was that? So actually, the American Psychological Association in 2015 did a study with asymptomatic heart failure patients. And in this study, they leaned into it and they tried to figure out why these individuals who had higher levels of thanksgiving and gratitude had less swelling in their body. I don't understand that, but I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Maybe that's why some of us are all swollen, is we don't have enough thanks. You're holding it in, right? They had increased emotional well-being. Their mood was lifted. They had less stress. It said individuals who had higher levels of gratitude endured the pandemic with better mental health. Instead of whining and complaining, people who were thankful got through the pandemic with a whole lot less mental stress as others. They made better decisions. They fended off anxiety and depression. They built resilience and they were able to be more focused. It boosted team performance and reduced pain. Here's all this basically says this. Once again, science proved what God's word said was true all along. God is greater than science. Okay, which is a great thing. There was an interesting quote, and this is not a Christian source. It's Stephanie Simpson. She is a life coach. I don't believe that she is a Christian, but she had a really awesome saying. It said, "It's not happiness that brings us gratitude; it's gratitude that brings us happiness," which I thought was a pretty insightful thing. So let's just recap. God wants us to give thanks in all situations. Okay. And giving is good for us. That's where we are so far. Okay? So point three, gratitude leads to giving. Okay? Gratitude leads to giving. When you recognize what Jesus has done for you, it should do something inside of you. It should make you want to give. I mean, people heard the gospel. Look in John chapter 4, you know, Jesus has this encounter with these individuals and he's having this conversation with this woman at the well, and he tells her about herself and reveals that he's the Messiah. And her response to being, you know, brought to this wonderful gift to understand salvation is she kind of a social outcast who was getting a well in the heat of, going to the well at the heat of the day, so she didn't necessarily be around people. She went back to the city and was telling everybody, "I met a man." She was giving her understanding and her gratefulness of seeing God's gift of the Messiah changed her, and it made her want to give. So I talked about these studies with the increased level of serotonin and dopamine. Here's the cool thing. Increased levels of serotonin and dopamine stimulate a specific part of the brain, the ventromedial prefrontal cortex. And those of you who understand what that part of the brain does, this is really cool. It's the part of your brain that is altruistic. It's the part of your brain that basically wants to do for other people with a pure motive, not to get anything for yourself. When you embrace gratitude, you want to give. It changes your life when you recognize what Christ has done for you. Gratitude increases generosity. Look at 1 John 4:19-21. The Apostle John says this, "We love because he first loved us. And if anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." When we receive God's love, it causes us to want to give love. Matthew 10:8, Jesus has been doing miracles and he calls the disciples to him and he's getting ready to send them out to do the same things that he was doing, which is pretty cool. Right? Up to this point, they're watching Jesus do things. And now Jesus says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. And here's the context. You received without paying. Now give without pay. When we receive from God, it should change us. When gratitude causes us to want to give. Which brings me to my final point. We are like God when we give. Now, I've heard preachers say, and I love this, and I agree with this point. It was dumb. I think Robert Morris was the first person who I heard say this, but it just really stuck with me my whole life. If there was a noun to describe God, it would be love. But if there was a verb to describe God, it would be give. Let's look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave. Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as beloved. In other words, God loves us children. Now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice. All throughout Scripture, God gives. When we embrace thanksgiving, when we embrace gratitude, I've just shown you, scientifically, we want to be more generous, right? When we give, we're literally imitating God. I would say this, God created you to be like Him. You're made in the image of God. Imago Dei, okay? You're made in the image of God. We get back to our original purpose when we embrace a life of love, of giving, and of generosity. Amen? Church family, please consider. Think about your prayers. Think about your joy. Think about your gratitude. Let's go beyond just having episodes of gratitude to developing a lifestyle of gratitude. And as we do so, and as we become more thankful and more giving, we're literally putting on the image of God. Amen. God bless you, and I hope you have a blessed time getting ready to not just be thankful, but to be giving. I love breaking down the word thanksgiving. Let's make them two words. Thanks and giving. Stand to your feet, please. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you and we thank you. And we want to be a people who have lifestyles of gratitude, not simply episodes. Thank you for your word today. Help us to really develop these three disciplines of gratitude, of joyfulness, and of prayer. Lord, help us to do so in all circumstance and not to just be so shallow as to only give you thanksgiving and give you thanks for the carnal blessings that we receive. But Lord, help us to have an eternal mindset and to give thanks for the relationship that you have secured for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bless your name and we just ask that we could bear the image of Christ. As we've borne the image of the man of the earth, Lord, let us put on the image of Christ. Help us, Father, to be transformed And we give you thanks in this season, but not just in this season, but every day of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's children say. God bless you, church family.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.